I want you to imagine in your mind's eye the setting of today's gospel. The Virgin is alone in the silence of her chamber, and suddenly there is a presence with her, what the priest poet Gerard Manley Hopkins calls the beating of wings. And suffice it to say that Our Lady became aware that God was speaking to her. He made his will known to her through the message of an angel. And St. Luke tells us that Our Lady was frightened at the presence of the angel, but not uncertain or doubtful. She trusted God and immediately replied, "Here am I, the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And in that very moment, in the room of a Palestinian house, the girl known in the mind of God the Father from before all time became the mother of God the Son and the spouse of God the Holy Spirit. "Here I am, let it be done to me according to your word." Probably one of the most eloquent, most beautiful statements of absolute, unconditional trust of all time. Which raises the question, how do we trust? How do we, like Mary, trust God with our lives? And at times, we feel as if the world is spinning out of control, doesn't it? Stock market, government, moral issues, all things beyond our ability to control or manipulate. And what about our own lives? Job, marriage, family? All of them are to some degree in a state of disorder, and we can't manage them. So three things occur to me that must be in place before we can trust God. Number one is prayer. In order to trust God, we have to learn how to pray. Like Mary, we need to learn to ponder the things of God in our hearts. Now, those of you who've had small children know that when you have small children, you spend a lot of time on the floor. And one thing I learned from being on the floor is that children's view is quite limited. Their whole world is limited to about a yard off the ground. Their world is small. And what prayer does is it lifts us up. And it expands our vision. Through prayer, our world is enlarged so that we see not only how things affect us, but how they affect all of us. And all of those issues going on in our lives, we see them from a different perspective when we pray. Now, wouldn't you like it that when you prayed, "Lord, should I do this or not? Lord, should I go there not or not?" Wouldn't you like it if just once God said, "Go there"? But it's not going to happen. Our Lord, in his earthly ministry, heard the voice of his Father only twice. Mary heard God through an angelic mediator. God does not communicate by audible voice. God does not speak English or Latin or Greek or Urdu. All speech is second language to God. God's primary language is the language of events, of happenings, of circumstances, of coincidences. Actually, there are no coincidences. That's when God chooses to remain anonymous. And if you were to take an afternoon, say, and think through your life intentionally, you would see how this event is related to that event, which is related to that event, and behind it all, the hand of God. Now think of Our Lady's life, not only the message of the angel we heard about today, but the flight into Egypt to protect the divine infant from Herod's hatred. Or what about her anxiety as she and Joseph searched for the boy child for 3 days till she found him in the temple? Or the friends and the relatives that thought her son crazy? Or after the crucifixion, as she received the inanimate, tortured body of her son into her arms? How could she make sense of these seemingly disparate events, but rather see them as part of a plan and hear in them God speaking? And it's the same with your life, isn't it? All of your events are like pieces in a puzzle, seemingly random and scattered, but when you put them together through prayer, a picture begins to emerge and a pattern can be discerned. God is speaking through the language of events. And if you listen to that language, you can begin to understand why things are happening, when they're happening, the way they're happening. And when you can see that, it's much easier to trust God, to say, "Here am I. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." So that's the first way that we learn to trust God. We hear him through the language of events. The second way we learn to trust God is simply by practicing trust. We practice trusting God. I think I've mentioned this before in one of the Sunday morning adult classes, but a priest friend of mine, has a man in his parish who prays a sort of rosary on his key ring. He pulls out his keys and he takes his house key and he prays for his wife and his children. And he takes out his business key and he prays about his career and his talents and his financial resources. He prays over his car key, which represents his contacts and appointments that he has during the course of his business day. He even prays over the key to his locker at the gym. It represents his health and physical well-being. Now, what's going on with that man is that he's practicing his trust not only for the big things like eternal life and salvation, but also for the little stuff. Interactions with other people, career choices, daily work, who to date, who to marry, eating habits, financial questions. Trusting God with all aspects of his life, both great and small. Now, maybe you'll take a chunk of your time and say to God, I'll try trusting you for this amount of time and for everything that takes place in it. Maybe you'll take a year, too long. A week, too long. Take today. Practice trusting God for today and for everything that happens in today. Someone once emailed me a prayer. "Lord, I thank you that I've been kind today. I haven't said an unkind word. I haven't been mean or nasty. I haven't thought an evil thought. But in a moment, I'm going to get out of bed and I may need your help for the rest of the day." We practice trusting God in small incremental steps. And if we can learn to trust God for the small things, we'll be able to trust him for the big things. Again, think of Our Lady's life. Think of the tremendous demands that were put on her trust in God. She saw a baby lying in a manger, but trusted God's word that He was the creator of the world through whom all things are made. She saw her son fly from Herod, but trusted that he was King of Kings. She saw her son poor and in need of food without even so much as a place to lay his head. And yet she trusted that he was the Lord of the universe. She saw her son dead and trusted that he was the gate of life eternal. Now, if you're in the medical profession or the ministry, or you've even nursed a sick relative, you know that one of the greatest honors is to be with someone when they die, to help them die. It's a great privilege. And as a priest, I've been there not a few times. And I always say that you can tell by the way a person dies how they've lived. If they're hanging on to life in desperation, and perhaps even with anger or bitterness, you know, I know, that they have never trusted God even for the small stuff. So how can they trust Him for the big stuff? So we practice the little stuff. We practice with Mary. She trusted in God. She trusted the divine messenger. Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And thirdly, we learn to trust God by understanding the critical importance of patience. My mother used to have a little rhyme. Patience is a virtue, possess it if you can, seldom found in women, but never in a man. The prophet Isaiah writes, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord." There's a discrepancy between God's time and our time. A modern translation might put it, "My day timer is not your day timer, says the Lord. My time is not your time. My priorities are not necessarily your priorities, says the Lord." And you can count on this. From our human perspective, when God intervenes in your life, He will be late. When God intervenes in your life, He will be late. Do you remember that story about Lazarus and Mary and Martha of Bethany? Jesus finally makes it to Bethany where Lazarus is lying dead. And what are the first words out of Martha's mouth? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." In other words, you're late. And often we pray and we say, "Lord, if you'd been here, my marriage could have been saved. Lord, if you'd been here, I wouldn't have lost my job. Lord, if you'd been here, this thing that I'm wrestling with would not be such an issue." Think of Our Lady's life again. After her son was arrested, after her son was put on trial and whipped and mocked, after her son was nailed to the cross, after her son was sealed in the stone-cold tomb, after each of these tragedies, Mary could have said, "Lord, if you'd been here." But she didn't, because she understood that God moves on His own time. God is not for us to control. You know what you call the God you can control. That's voodoo. Our situation is the exact opposite. We come under the authority of God's will, not He ours. God's going to move when He's going to move. Our task is to trust that He will move. Mary said, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. Probably one of the most eloquent, beautiful statements of absolute trust of all time. One last thing. Just finished singing a paraphrase of the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, the song of Mary. And like Mary, the only thing with which we have to magnify and glorify God is our soul. My soul magnifies the Lord. And here's the question. At the end of your life, whenever that comes, with what will you magnify God? Lord, I magnify you with my resume. Lord, I magnify you with my house, my car, my stock portfolio, my accomplishments. The only thing that is truly yours, the only thing with which you can magnify God is your soul, your spirit, that bottom line character, that soul of who you are. And that begs the question, thinking now of that soul, that essence of who you are, not what you want to be, but who you are, not what you own, but who you are, not what you do, but who you are, your soul. It begs the question, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Can you say with Mary, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word.